Bible, turn Hebrews chapter 10 and just kind of hold that for a minute. I'm really going to speak to you this morning about sight and vision and about problems and promises. Okay? Our lives, Emily, if you'll pull up Ephesians 2:10, it says something very powerful about our lives and about what we are created for, and that we are actually His workmanship. For we are God's handiwork. Another translation says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are His workmanship. That is actually translated into this word, tapestry. We are His tapestry. We're His tapestry. Tapestry is a big, beautiful thing. I didn't even know what it was called. I thought it was a blanket. My wife said, "That's not a blanket, John. That's a tapestry." But the way I would explain it would be like we are His rug. But we're not just His rug. We are a fine rug, like an oriental rug. I have a friend. Yeah, I still got him. This didn't mess us up. This story didn't mess us up. We're still friends. But he was in a foreign country, and he was about to purchase a very expensive rug. And it was so nice. It was a high-end store that he was in, and he was in India. And the way the culture was, he understood that when you go into the place, there's one price that they've got, and they want to sell it to you at that price, but it's a high price, but they haggle. Y'all know what to haggle is. So they would haggle. It was just kind of customary to haggle. So they would he would come back with another lower price, and what the plan was to kind of meet somewhere in the middle. But he said when he asked the guy about the rug, he said, "I see your rug. I'd like to purchase your rug." And when he saw the price of it, he said, "Oh, I don't want to buy the whole store. I just want to buy the rug." And it kind of offended the owner of the store. And so they can be offended and still want your business. So he said, my friend. But that'll be the extent of my accent right there. So I'll continue in my southern drawl for the rest of the story. But he said, my friend, he said, "How many rugs have you ever made?" And he said, "Well, come to think of it, I've never made a rug before." And he said, "Your problem is you're looking at the beautiful side of the rug." He said, "But turn it over and look." And on the other side, there were all these threads and all these knots and all of these different colors. And there was this blurred picture. And he said, that's what happens if you don't know what goes into a rug. You only look at the face value of it and think it got there just like that. You don't understand all the intricate details that it took to get you to that place. But to the believer, we need to see that the Word says that we are His workmanship. We are His tapestry. We are His rug. And the thing that everyone else sees, it's not like the things that they don't see. How many of you can say, "I've got a backstory"? Amen. And I'm thankful that even though my life looks like this now, it did not always look this way. And we understand as believers what the Scripture meant by He works all things together. The good, the bad, the indifferent, the ugly. How many of you have had some moments in your life that weren't just all beautiful and scenic and butterflies and peace and rivers and rocks and flow and some rough times? Can you say, "Thank you, Lord, for getting me through those too"? That they've helped create the tapestry. Something else is going on. Thank you, God. And so if we come to a place in our life where we stop our lives or we stop believing in the middle of the tapestry work, in the middle of the threads of our lives coming together, we actually fall short in our lives of the finish line that He has for us. Can you just understand that there's a finish line for all of us? And we don't know what it is, but I'm going to tell you what I feel about my finish line is that I've gone through enough in my life, I want to cross the finish line. Whenever it happens, I don't know when it's going to happen, and I do not want to stop short of the finish line, and I don't want to have false finish lines in my life either. Amen? Hebrews 10, verse 35, it says this. It says, so do not throw away your confidence. He's talking about persevering right here. This chapter is a good portion has to do about persevering. And then it gets to this point. It says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. In other words, don't stop at a false finish line. And then it says this in verse 36. You need to persevere. You need to persevere. That means you need to have the strength for endurance. You need to have the strength for endurance. Persevere. Persevere means to stop quitting. No false finish lines. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And that's as far as I'm going to go with that one. You need to persevere so that you will see, and so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. So you've got to believe that there is promises in your life. You've got to believe that God can get you through situations. And you've got to believe that God can get you out of situations that perhaps you got yourself into. Have you ever had God get you out of something? Some people think that I'm just a mess and God might can touch other people, but He can't help me. I've even seen people that come to church regularly and they're miserable because they believe that God's doing something for everybody else, but they just believe that what they did was so bad that God couldn't get them out of it. I can tell you this, God doesn't want you to have that type of miserable experience. To understand that God can get you out of things, you have to understand this. Right after the book Genesis, in the beginning, God created everything. He had this book called Exodus. And He devoted a whole book to helping us understand God can get us out. He's the God of exits too. And I'm grateful for that. He's helped me exit some things in my life. And you've got to hold on to that. But this thing about seeing and perceiving, Christine, you mentioned it a minute ago that God, you would help our vision. You had no idea this is what I was going to talk about. But our vision help us to be able to perceive and persevere so that at the end we will receive what He has promised. Okay? Now I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 6. And I believe you know most of this story. I believe you know the story of Jericho, right? All the church folks know about Jericho, right? If you've been around long enough, you might have been in a Jericho march. You know why we don't have Jericho marches in this building? It might work. I think when they built this building as a garden center, if you'll look up now to Exhibit 1, Exhibit A, I'm just taking for granted that there is a rafter on the other side of those walls, so that would put us at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jericho. I think code is a whole lot closer on those rafters. But we're not going to have a Jericho march here. But I believe you understood that the story of what happened with Jericho. Let me read the first two verses, then we're going to talk about it for a minute. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up. Joshua 6, verse 1 and 2. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its kings and its fighting men." Now, if you don't know the rest of the story, you can read on later this week. But that's really all I want you to see for now. We might look at some things in a little bit, but to understand what was going on, Jericho, it's not that it was this big, gigantic city, but they said about Jericho, the thing about Jericho was the wall around it. And Jericho had never been beat before because of the wall around it. The wall was so high and the wall was so thick as well that you could, they say that you could drive a chariot with horses, could come this way and that way. It's like wide enough to have two lanes on top of this place. So Jericho was a very fortified city. And the gates of the city had been locked up because of Israel. Walker, come here, son. This is my son, also known as my 40-year surprise, that I love so much. I'm so proud of him. But we've talked about having a different spirit. We've talked about believing in God and trusting in God, and we have a devotion just about every night. But I want you to imagine me being God and you being Joshua. I know there's problems with that. You can probably imagine yourself better as Joshua than you can me as God. But just roll with me on it. So there's Jericho over there. You see that wall? Now, imagine it really big. They say this about Jericho. They say this about Jericho, that you could walk all the way around it. You remember they marched around it. It would take about 2 hours to march around it. So the whole city's inside of these walls. So get that picture in your mind, okay? I'm going to call that the wall over there. But it's way bigger than that. Okay, and it shut up. But I'm God and you're Joshua. And I can do anything, and you can believe that I can do anything, or you can hope that I can do anything, right? Yeah, isn't that actually how we treat him sometimes, though? He can do anything, and we say that he's good all the time, and we sing he's good all the time until something happens. Then we just hope that he's as good as we sang about, right? So I'm stretching you. Imagine that I'm God. I know my weaknesses. The only person that knows my weaknesses better than me is your mother. Thank you. I get the same laugh from somebody out there. So, but God says this to Joshua. He says, "There's the wall. There's this city." But God says this. He says, "See, I've given it to you. This is a fortified city that's never, ever been beat, never been taken. The problem with this city is that it's never been beat, never been taken. Gates are closed up." And God tells Joshua, "See, I've given you this city." All right, Walker, you did good. Thank you, buddy. Let me read it again. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." That's a promise that God's talking about right there. A promise. He says this, "See, I've given it to you." I believe God could see it. I'm not so sure Joshua could see it yet. You've got to believe when it comes to God, there's some promises in your life that you're not going to be able to see it. So much so that your number one problem is going to be doubt. Your own doubt. Paul said this. He said, there is an effectual door that has been opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. Here's the thing. When you have promises, the one thing that holds a promise back is a problem. The one thing that keeps you from seeing your promise is a problem. So when the problem comes up, you can't see the promise. But you've got to be able to see the promise so that you can handle the problem. Is this making sense to anybody yet? And Paul said, there's an effectual door that's been opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. So the door's not the problem. But I can tell you about the enemy and doors. The enemy hates to give up doors. Because doors mean territory is about to shift. And some of you have an open door in front of you, and you know that there are adversaries, and your number one adversary can be your own thoughts. And that's a problem. And you've got to decide what you're seeing. Are you seeing problems or are you seeing promises? Because the Lord took Joshua out to a place that was walled up. And it was walled up so much that they could drive chariots around it. And it was walled up and the place was shut up so no one could come out and no one could go in. But the word of the Lord was, see, Joshua, I've delivered this to you. When do you think Joshua saw that? I'm telling you, you've got to be able to see what he says. And you've got to be able to hold on to that. Now, as believers, there's a scripture that says, we walk by and not by. Sounds good. But do we do it? We walk by faith and not by sight. See, you've got natural eyes that help you see, but you've got spiritual eyes that give you vision. And you've got to be able to see with your spiritual eyes what he said. And until you get to that place, you're going to be contending with problems. The problem to be able to see it. The problem to be able to understand what the issue is. The issue's not even what you see. The issue is what you understand about what you see. Because the answer's right here in the problem, in verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. The word about the Israelites had already got to Jericho, and they were already trembling and afraid of the power of God. But if all we hear is that God's got some promises of my life, but I don't know how I'm going to get into it, I'm going to tell you that there's some things that God's already got that are your victory. He said, he didn't say, I'm going to deliver you. He said, I have delivered. He's a God of completion before he even says a thing. And you know what we're doing? Okay, God, but if you'll just give me a word. And he just gave you the word. The whole thing. The thing is shut up because of you. God's people. You see how we walk outside of our privilege? walk outside of our positioning. And it's something that's very easy for us to do. And it's when we start looking with these natural eyes. That one is a tough one. That is why we have to renew our mind all the time. I'm going to prove it to you. But before I do that, I'm going to say this. What are you seeing right now? I'm just going to ask you, what are you seeing right now? Are you seeing shut up doors? Are you seeing walls? Are you seeing His promise that it's already yours? Somebody told me that years ago. It's somebody of tremendous faith that I really look up to. And he said this about a situation. He said, I stopped going to places asking God to give me things. But he said, I started going there instead saying, God, is it mine? Is it mine? That is a different level of faith. That's a different place. And the Lord, is it mine? Because I want to know if it's mine or not. Because if it's mine, I'll fight for it. Officer Beard, I know you have to deal with burglaries and theft, don't you, all the time, stuff like that. But he's never called me and said, hey, Pastor John, this guy just got robbed. Are you okay with that? Why? Because he doesn't want me to think I'm crazy. He doesn't want me to think that I think he's crazy. Pastor John, this person, they got burglarized. Are you okay with that? You know what the truth is? I don't know that person. I mean, I'm sorry that they got burglarized, right? Don't you hear about people getting broken into all the time? You hear that on the news and stuff like that? You hear it? Do you come up to arms because somebody got their 10-speed stolen? No. But if it was your 10-speed, Officer Beard, get me Officer Beard. York County, I need Officer Beard. I know him, and he's at my church on Sunday, so I need to speak to Officer Beard right now. That's not. They're not going to let you have it, have him. But will they? But if I did call him and say, Officer Beard, look, I need some help. Somebody stole my 10-speed. He's like, he'd probably think, no, that's your son's 10-speed, right? Because you don't have one, do you? But the bottom line is, we don't get upset until we think it's ours. Because if we think it's ours, we'll fight for it. Now you need to carry that over into your spiritual walk and your spiritual eyes. You're letting some things be walled up, unattainable, when God says they're already yours. Let me read down just a couple more verses. This is what God told him. This was his instruction. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout on the 7th day. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. On the last day, on the 7th day, 7 times. Somewhere along the line, we got 7 as the number of perfection. But in this instance, you know what 7 means? Completion. God is speaking about the end in the very beginning because it's already completed in His eyes. Now it's just for you to walk it out. Walk it out. That's the God that we serve. Now, if you believe enough that the wall comes down and you get to go in, do you know that that's not the end of the thing? Do you know what they had to do when the wall came down? Fight. Do you know what the reward of your last battle is? Your next battle. God loves you enough that you'll fight through one thing for Him to put you in front of something else that He has already delivered you from. But He builds something up inside of you because you need that. We need that. I need that. I need to spiritually see, because if I don't spiritually see, I will naturally see. And if I naturally see, then my spiritual side takes a hit. If we walk by faith and not by sight, you know what the enemy of faith is? Don't say fear or doubt. Sorry, it's kind of a trick. I got you. But it says it right there. The enemy of faith is sight. Sight. Do you know what helps you with your faith? Sight. It's just which sight? Spiritual sight or natural sight? If everybody could see it, it wouldn't look like a battle. And if everybody could see it, it wouldn't be a victory. If I just walked over to that door and said, I believe by faith God's going to help me get through this door, and I walk out the parking lot, let a couple drops of rain hit me and come back in, and I came back in and said, hallelujah, I knew He was going to do it, you ought to be like, that guy's an idiot. But if I said that, if I talked about a door and I was right over here instead, you would still think I'm an idiot, right? You kind of wondered, the jury's out right now. But if I, no, I'm not going to try it because I know it's not going to work. I don't have faith for that. But there are things, that's how some things are going to look in your life. It's going to look like impossible. Like it can't happen. Do you remember the spies that were sent in? This is the way God, I told you that God, He's a God of exits. He's the one that helps you get out of bondage. But where did they go from bondage? They went to wilderness. Because bondage is where someone else puts you in chains. But wilderness is where you keep yourself in chains. And He wants to get you to what? Promised land. But you got to get through you to get to the promised land. Can I tell you, He can set you free like that? And then you've got to deal with you till you get to the place. And you know what will start looking good to you? When God delivers you and gives you freedom, do you know what you always struggle with? What He brought you out of. The onions, the leeks. Do you remember that being their complaint? When they got out of bondage and they were in the wilderness, they started saying this crazy thing. Boy, I miss them onions. Man, I miss them leeks. You ever eaten a leek? You got to be serious about your health to be eating up some leeks. Especially if you're a little Debbie man. Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to close with this. Christine, you'll go ahead and come. I want them to believe me when I said I'm done. When she comes, I'm truly throwing in the towel with it. Luke 19, verse 41 through 44, just hear this. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Another translation said, "You did not recognize your day of visitation." Recognize. You did not recognize. You saw the problem, but you did not see that the solution was there. You did not recognize the day of your visitation. The word recognize means this: to recognate. Recognize, recognate. Change what you know to what you know. You've got to know that he's on his throne. I preached about this a couple weeks ago. David said this: "I can't flee. Where would I go? I know this. God is on his throne." It said, "If the foundations be destroyed, what will happen to the righteous? But I know this, God is on his throne. He's sitting in his place of authority. He's ready to rule and make judgment." That simply meant this: when the foundations are destroyed, when everything that we know, when everything that we recognize foundationally, and we're kind of in that place right now. When we get to that place, that can crumble, but he's not worried about it. He's still on his throne because his kingdom won't crumble. Our little kingdoms will crumble, but his won't. And that's where you've got to see him. And you've got to recognate your day of visitation. Your time that he'll see you. That your time that he will deliver you. And that he's already made a way out for you. That's the God that we serve. Fix it in your mind. Can you just go there right now? Can you just go there right now and fix it in your mind? The same thing that we were singing a little bit ago. You're good all the time. You're good in the middle of my battle. The rest of the story is that the walls did crumble just like God said that they would crumble. Why did they crumble? Because God said that they would crumble. And because the people were obedient to exactly what God said to do. Can I tell you that's our biggest struggle as believers? Is that we fail to obey. We believe on Sunday, but sometime between Sunday and the time that we were supposed to obey, something breaks down. And it comes down to this: obedience. So that means it all really comes down to this: choices. And I would say this about choices: choose well. Can I paint a picture of your life right now? Let me give you a picture of your life. Let's go to the end of it, wherever it ends. And looks like, let's look back on our lives. I can do this. I can nail every one of us right now. Your life is going to be like my life in this way. As I look back over my life at the end, it will be a series of decisions that I said yes to and that I said no to. And that will be my life. And if you want your life to be lived well, you better choose your decisions well. And be obedient. certainly there's going to be mountains. But what kind of promise would it be if everything looked like a cakewalk? What kind of God would it be if there were not some impossible things for me that were only possible through Him? Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is the God that we serve. I sense a little bit of discouragement here. Y'all worship, man. Worship, A+. I mean, I felt it with you. But it's almost like we've got comfortable with the wet blanket that comes back over us and we start remembering, oh, yeah, that. Oh, yeah, that. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. But do you ever wake up in the morning like, oh, man, I actually slept pretty good last night. Oh, yeah, that. Got to deal with that again today. Is that talking to anybody? Mm-hmm. He's good all the time. Yes. He's good even in the oh, yeah, that moments. Yes. He's good in the things that gave you the butterflies. Like, oh, that. I'm going to challenge you this morning. With spiritual eyes, I'm going to ask you to see yourself victorious. Whatever that, oh yeah, that thing is, I'm going to challenge you right now. See yourself victorious in it.
Yes.
Your life, your situation, your mountain, your walled up thing, your gates closed thing. But the Scripture said it was closed up because of you. So you got to see yourself victorious. There's something that the enemy recognizes about you that is dangerous to his kingdom.
Yes.
And God will help you get through that thing. But you've got to see what he sees about your life. And you've got to believe what his promises are about your life. I told you this last week. He that began a good thing in you is able to complete it, is able to bring it to the day of completion. 7, 7, 7, completion. He's able to bring it to completion.
Yes.
So he's obligated to bring what he began to completion, but he's not obligated to bring to completion what you began.
That's good.
So what's your problem look like right now? Is this something that you began? Because if it is, you just need to let it die out, or you're just going to stay frustrated. And you need to get into the thing, the arena, where it's something that he began. Because there's victory in that.
Amen.
And I want you to see yourself victorious right now. Will you stand to your feet? Lord, in Jesus' name, my eyes are closed right now, but I see myself victorious in you. I see the walls beginning to crumble. I see the gates opening up, and I see a deliverance and a victory for me. And whatever that means and whatever that looks like in this room, Lord, we're your people. We're your children. We're called by your name that we sang about, that we cried out to, that we called out to, and that we trust in right now. We trust in your name, Lord. You're a good God. You're a good God. Thank you for your promises, Lord.
Yes.
Help me to see the promise and
yes.
not be shielded
yes.
and blocked by the problem in
yes.
Jesus' name. Somebody needs to grasp on that right now. God, help me to see the promise and not be blocked by the problem in Jesus' name. Help my eyes to see, Lord. You ask Him right now, open my eyes, Lord. Open my spiritual eyes so that I can walk by faith and not by sight. So that my faith is not blocked by my sight. That my faith is not interfered with by my sight. That my faith is not halted by my sight. For without faith, it's impossible to please you, Lord. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Can you just ask Him right now, Lord, help me to see it. Help me to see it. Help me to see it. Thank you, Jesus. Can you tell Him, I believe, Lord. I believe. And help me with my unbelief, Lord. Yes. Can you be just really transparent about it with Him? Because God can handle your transparency. Can you tell Him right now, God, I believe it. I do. I do believe it. But there's this part of unbelief. God, help me with that. There's a story in the Bible, a man just like that. He said, Lord, I believe that You can heal me, but help me with my unbelief. Help me with that thing, Lord. Help me with that thing that even at the end of my song, at the end of my worship, there's that thing that comes back and it tries to create doubt. It's my sight. I'm seeing something else besides Your victory. Help me with it, Lord. Help me to have faith and let my faith build and grow in You, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
You're never gonna let